You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. With your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV.
So, you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. We are recording live in front of, about 50
millions.
People.
Live studio audience.
Live studio audience. Today's April 28th, 2010. I am Brian Kilby. With me, I do not have the usual crew. I have some additions and some subtractions. What would you say? We're missing JD.
Deductions? I don't know.
Whatever works.
Yeah. Down in Oklahoman.
Yeah, we're down one Oklahoman today. So this week we have Ender, XV, John DeLuna, our buddy Mike Blanchard, TFG1 Mike, Rob Springer, and guess who? The first time on RFC since you were a guest on RFC once, we have Ironhide 1975. How's it going, Anthony?
Okay, guys. You know, I leave the mantle of the control of the podcasting for 4 months, and you let Ender talk way too much. Did you not understand the whole point of me leaving was to get rid of Ender?
I'm on board with that.
I mean, I figured after I did 2 hours of, you know, talking with the guy about Star Trek, and I figured nobody in the world would possibly want to spend more time with this guy. But no, not only do you let him onto the show, which was against the whole purpose of me retiring, but you also give him his own segment.
Okay, so this would probably be a bad time to mention that we're changing the name to the Ender Show, right?
Radio Free Ender.
It's Ender into Fish.
I spit out my Pepsi. I'm glad I didn't pick that sip.
Mornings on the drive by to traffic. Ender into Fish. Ender hates everything. Billy loves it. It's Ender into Fish.
So that was a poor attempt at a rant there, and thankfully Ender as usual actually knocks him out of the ballpark. So, but
if nothing else, it's great hearing your voice.
Hey guys, I said nice to talk to you. In all honesty, you guys have been doing an amazing job. I've very little time to even read the news sites these days, and keeping up with the Transformers stuff is literally like you and the Moonbase 2 guys, and that's about it. I mean, literally, that's all I know what's going on.
That's all you need.
So you really can't get away from me.
No, I can't. That was the whole point. But no, you look back onto the show, give him his own segment. And not only that, what really pisses me off, we tried several times to get DMG to get on the show, and the one chance I can hear his voice is on your show. What the frick? Anyhow.
Hey, Doug, you're out there. How's it going?
So anyhow, it's very nice to hear you guys. You guys have been doing an excellent job and whatnot, and except for Ender, but.
Another happy reunion.
Let's get the Z Piper here. It would be all set. So
Z Piper is in the process of formalizing his wedding as we speak. So well,
congratulations.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He invites all the Transformers fans to arrive at Philadelphia. <Just kidding. laughs> Wouldn't that be great if we could do that?
My wedding actually did have...
Turns out I'm actually going to be his best man, so I'll see you there.
My wedding did have a contingent...
I'm going to give a speech.
...fans. It's kind of cool.
Say that? Go ahead.
My wedding actually did have a big chunk of online nerds at it. It was really kind of cool, except for the whole being married part.
I've yet to see out of all the 30 weddings I'm going to, nobody actually recite the wedding part from Star Trek Nemesis. I'm surprised I haven't seen that where Picard, you know, gives his whole little rant at Troy and Riker's wedding. So, what's wrong with you guys? Come on, you're letting me down here.
What was his rant?
I know that one.
I can't believe this shit.
Yeah.
Do you know that, Ender, off the top of your head?
I don't know. Well, I don't know the I don't know it verbatim, but I know to what you were referencing. Yes.
Yeah.
He pretty much goes. Speech. I can't believe this shit.
I have heard versions of that before. I have heard that at weddings.
Oh, really?
It was from someone. The best man was their roommate, so it's the you know, the best man stands up and basically says, you know, I just want to bring this up. You know, no one seems to want to talk about it. It's, you know, it's their day, but I just want to say no one has mentioned how this is going to affect me.
Yeah, and that is a classic line. I think probably the best part of Nemesis. But I digress. Let's get on to some Transformer news.
Sweet. Del Rey. XV wrote this. I'm just reading it. Del Rey announces Transformers origin story novel, Transformers Exodus. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
For the intellectuals out there.
A novel?
Yeah.
Like an actual book?
Don't get excited that most Transformers novels suck.
I got something to read. I'm going to read it on the toilet.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the only place I get to read anymore. You think I get peace and quiet anywhere else?
I hope it's fair in that Hardwired one where it's like, here's the sentence, Optimus Prime punches Megatron, then 5 pages of collateral damage.
Yeah, you know, that's unfortunately the one thing about the Transformers is that they really don't translate to a novel very well. As a little kid, I remember thinking, why aren't there any Transformer books? And it's because you really can't build excitement writing about transformations in a novel. So if anything, Andrew.
I don't see how that – why would that affect anything?
Well, I know. You're basically it's more about the character development and stuff like that. But I remember
you're thinking a Transformers novel should mostly be the description of transforming.
Well, no, but it's just I remember I read the Transformers prequel book for the first movie, and it was so boring. I'm like, I realized that it's very hard to write an action sequence in words. I mean, it works in a comic because at least you can do, you know, thwop and womp and stuff like that. But, you know,
you may need to expand your literary horizon.
That's exactly how I would write it.
I hate to, you know, get like super nerdy, but when I was writing Transformers fan fiction, and God help me, I did, I just completely glazed over the transformation part unless you could kind of.
Yeah, they transformed.
They transformed. Optimus transformed. You know,
yeah. But, right. The Legends book was okay. About half of it, three quarters maybe.
I'm reading a book called Eugenesis by one of the guys who's writing Wreckers right now. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's a whole book.
It is a whole book.
I should write a Transformers novel and get it published, like, as official. It'd be like, an Optimus Prime punched Megatron, plow, and Megatron said, ow, damn it. And Cliff Jumper ran up and kicked someone in the knee.
Dude, if you could do that in the Burgess Meredith voice, like the
movies, that would be. Yeah, I don't know, dude. That sounds like the Transformers Meet Axe Cop book.
So in other words, it'd be good.
Yeah, that's right.
When Rob's mentioning all this stuff, right. All I can think of is those old Transformers storybooks you saw in your elementary school library.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a couple of those. I have a couple of those books that were drawn. I think the actual pictures in those books were actually like pencil sketches. That's how bad they were.
I had a Find Your Fate book that was bound incorrectly, so it just repeated.
See, Brian, now you need a sound effect for a rim shot there from a drum.
I wasn't doing it, so I could have played the sad tuba. It's a little late. Sad trombone.
My favorite one of those old kids books is the race one, because first they have Megatron like popping his head out of a Cadillac that supposedly he's like driving and shooting at Bumblebee. Yes. But then the next page they show like, you know, Prime's in the foreground pulling up a telephone pole, and the next page is he's like in sort of like the follow through position, like he swung a bat. And Megatron and the Cadillac are flying through the air.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there sadly, was actually...
Sadly, the one that I remember, unfortunately, I hate to admit this, is the one where we find out Wheelie actually has parents.
Oh, yeah. Wild Boy Old Quintessa. I've got that.
Oh, yeah. I got that.
Yeah, they pretty much drew guys in Transformers costumes having an adventure.
Yep.
Which ironically was a lot like, clearly the inspiration for and a lot like Spotlight Wheelie.
I'm really having fun. Action adventure.
It doesn't fit the continuity anywhere. Not that there's any reason it should.
Wheelie's got a knife and a slingshot. Woohoo!
Yeah, now I'm going through all my stuff trying to find those audiobooks, play a clip. Actually, I got so hard up for material, like when we were originally doing RFC, I would just insert those randomly into the show.
well, let's while you're looking for that, let's move on to the next story. Wink, wink.
Okay, BotCon exclusive Streetwise or Street Star.
Ha ha! Double homage. Aha.
Street Star. Was there a Street Star? A company that makes like street sweeping machines or something?
Sounds like a service to help you in the case of an accident of your vehicle, and they will automatically call the police for you.
Street Star is the most ingenious way to get out of, okay, we don't have Streetwise's name, so how about we trademark the Streetwise repaint that looked exactly like Streetwise?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my friends on Twitter called it a Cybertronian hooker with the renaming.
Wow.
Ew.
Boy, it's a good thing I wasn't going to get that set anyway. But
I don't think I'm going to get it.
Is anybody getting the set from BotCon?
Rob is. Definitely.
Yeah, Rob's got his money like every 5 minutes checking. Is Rag up yet? Damn it. Is Rag up yet? Damn it.
I was really considering it. I have always done a walk-in at BotCon. Always. I always do BotCon on the cheap. And this year was going to be no exception. Then the G2 set, it was so awesome. But I think I'm going to hold off and spend more money doing stupid stuff on the podcast, kind of like this.
So. Now, for those of us that are a little, once again, I've been a little bit out of the loop, except from listening to you guys. What it's a G2 theme at Transformers at BotCon this year.
It's G2 Redux.
G2 in cartoon continuity.
Okay, and the characters I saw the box set, and once again, I continually get angry because it seems like I'll never be able to collect all the classic molds because they keep just releasing stuff, but. What really got me angry was the Transformers Collectors Club was finally going to release Punch and Counter Punch, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'll add them to my little collection. Then I saw the price. I'm like, but no, screw that.
It's expensive. Did it finally sell through?
Oh, I thought it sold out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I say 10 minutes sarcastically, as opposed to the Masters of the Universe, which is literally 10 minutes.
Yeah,
but doesn't that bother you? I mean, as a fan, I mean, does that bother you that these exclusives are priced so high and sell out so quickly?
With Punch Counter Punch, yes.
It's the economy of scale. They don't mass produce this, so they have to charge a premium. So, I mean,
I don't mind them being extra. I do. I mind when they like sell out, and I don't know if it stays. It was around for like a couple of days, wasn't it? Or was it like a day and it was gone?
Like 2 days.
It was around basically over a weekend.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact.
It should technically be a little longer than that if they've done it right, if you ask me. I mean, if you sell out, you sell out. If it takes a week, then you probably met your demand. If it takes 2 days, you probably could have made more money.
Well, they were looking into expanding the production run to possibly offer more orders later.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything come of that since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. I think I'd snap probably one up. Now.
Well, that's the thing is that I'm just surprised that Hasbro doesn't look at how quickly these toys go and go, wow, if we release this to the general public, we make a ton of money. Or maybe they did do that when they finally released Dirge.
I'm still waiting for Hasbro or the fan club or something to recolor the Sunstreaker mold as Thundercracker. Because, I mean, they've done as everything else already.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good mold, though. I mean, they could release all these as separate items, and I would pick them up if they were a 12 bucks a shot, 25 bucks maybe at the most. But, you know, 100 bucks, I'm sorry. I'm just, as much as I love Transformers, that's starting to get to... I'm sorry. How much was the Counterpunch punch?
It was like $60, something like.
All right, so $60 for a toy that's pretty much originally was about $12 in the store, and I understand that it's limited production and the costs that go into it, but it just amazes me that Hasbro doesn't go, wow, if these sold out, then we should re-release these and basically make our own versions, and maybe they finally decide to do that when they're releasing that classic Sturge now, but. It just I'm just like, guys, I'll spend $12, but $60, as much as I love the Transformers, it's just you know.
Well, they think they've already milked their market by selling those people the $80 version.
Yeah.
You think?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing out
there. Of the person who would have bought those have bought them at this point.
So you're saying the fan base is that limited then?
Well, you got to remember, there's a difference between several thousand.
It's the fan base and the fan base who will pay $80 for that toy, and then there's probably an extra threshold outside of that who would have paid $12. Yeah. But once you subtract the people who already paid $80 because being fans, they're nuts.
Right.
You know, myself,
I would like to see some statistics on this, if all possible, because I'd be very curious to see if they took, you know, some of these molds that were in BotCon and said, okay, well, these were stuff that fans really demand and they would like to see. If we re-release them as a separate toy, once again, like they're doing with Dirge, would the fans buy them? And I think that there would be not only the fans, but even the general public would buy them as well for their kids. I mean, they don't know any difference. It's just a new Transformer to them.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Thundercracker is the big one they really screwed up on.
Which one?
Thundercracker.
And you say that because?
Because that's one that would have sold at retail just fine and fairly expected.
You're saying Classics Thundercracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big, if they ever screwed up an exclusive, it was that. So.
Once again.
They could probably still make money on, but I don't know if they'd make the kind of money they'd like to off of. As much as I'd like to see Punch Counter Punch at retail, I wonder if he'd even fits that price point at mass production because he's a more complicated mold.
I would pay a little bit more.
Head, didn't they? That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, new head.
Basically yeah, I mean, so he fits that price point. I mean, if they're gonna bring out Bludgeon, I mean, Punch Counter Punch got more, you know, coverage than Bludgeon did.
I think it was a matter of being able to convince, whoever that Bludgeon was a movie toy when clearly he was Classics.
That's really the difference. You know, the movie toys are what the stores want to buy a lot of. So they can throw all kinds of crazy stuff into the movie line and it'll work.
Yeah.
That's true. They can sneak more classics.
Fans, would we care if our Classics toys said Revenge of the Fallen on top?
Nope.
Not one little bit.
I get him.
Nope. Well, that's how I got the Fracture and Crank case and everything.
You know, yeah. Andrew, I did actually walk into the – I mean, I walked into Target for the first time in a long time, and I'm like, well, let me go check out the toy section. And I remember we were talking about, Revenge of the Fallen Brawn, and there was Gears there. And I remember we talked about them. I'm thinking, well, these look like good toys. I'll pick them up. And then when I was actually standing there holding them in my hands, I'm like, you know what? I was so disinterested in that style. It's like it still looks too complex for me.
Yeah. But if they'd made those characters in a classic style and put them in those boxes, we'd have bought them.
Right, right.
But yeah, that look it's not very good for toys. I'm sorry. It's actually just not. It's doing well because it's got a, you know, giant multi-million dollar marketing arm behind it that's fading. Right. And yeah, they were designed to be in a live-action movie, and, you know, to debate whether they work or not there to wear blue in the face. But the fact of the matter is that's what they were designed for, and it's kind of what they're good for. Once they went three-dimensional in reality, they didn't look like much, not at that scale. And, God forbid anyone tries to draw them in a comic.
Well, we think even what's even more amazing is the first movie being able to take those – I mean, the toy designers had no prep time. And they just had to work with what they were given, and being able to take what they were given and somehow make a decent toy out of it. Kudos to the designers who actually did the first movie toys. I mean, the second movie they had a little more time to prep and everything. So, but anyhow,
they had time to do, they did as good as they could. But again, that just, you know, the movie came at the expense of what we were used to getting quality wise.
This is sure to be a fun little topic. We got pictures of Drift this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
You sure did.
He's everyone's favorite Transformer.
I'm going to go smile and kill that guy. Now I'm going to smile again. That's good. Hey, guys, you see my rat tattoo? It says warrior in Japanese, I think. All right, smiles.
Hey, I think you should do the voice for Drift in the next movie.
Well, if I do it, it's going to come out. Aye, I'm Drift. All right. I'm going to fight you now. Roar!
I'm the new Krypton from Cybertron.
Yes.
He has swords, lots of swords. You know, he's
pretty ramen and
so many swords.
So many swords. So many swords.
Oh, well, like you know, they are.
If he wasn't attached to like this sort of like mockable fanfic character, we'd probably like this toy more.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
I firmly intend to purchase one. I think it's a decent toy. I'm not going to come down on it.
I'm sure it's a fine toy. It's just kind of brought down by what it is.
Yeah,
by who he is.
It's like a really good wheelie. You know, you're like, oh, man.
Wow, it's the best wheelie we've ever had.
Yeah.
Hey.
But at least the mold's getting reused as blur. So at least if you don't want to.
See, now that pisses me off. That so pisses me off.
Wally's got swords. I'm going to run fast now.
A dedicated blur toy should be getting repainted as lame Drift, not the other way around. Drift should be the afterthought.
Toy was a co-development.
Well, sometimes they decide.
Yeah, blur and his swords, right?
Sometimes they decide they're going to go with the repaint first, like with Energon Megatron.
Now, this is a Drift toy they're painting into blur.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to make a point. It's not a very good point. But.
No, you're not incorrect in saying that. It's just not the fact of the matter in this instance.
Not in this instance.
Yeah.
Hey, for everyone out there listening, if you want to chat, go to tfradio.net/live. We have a little chat room going on. So,
hey, can you guys still hear me? By the way,
no.
No, I can't hear
that. Well, my whole computer is freezed except obviously.
In fact, I've never heard you while we were on a cast.
Yeah, I know. I did sometimes. I wish I would have been. So, by the way, Andrew, you know I love you when I.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
People didn't know we were okay when I was giving them crap. I wouldn't be here anymore.
No, that's true. So the War for Cybertron Best Buy exclusive is Jazz. Yay.
Whoa, another skin.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. My complaint with the War for Cybertron exclusives is it's only for what's the name of the stupid mode?
Co-op.
One of the multiplayer game modes. It's only for that on all of the exclusives. Yeah, it's only for Invasion or Envision or whatever. There's some multiplayer mode where all of the exclusives GameStop exclusive, the Best Buy exclusive, they're only available to use on the online multiplayer. They're not available to use in the single player.
Well, heck, it don't matter where you buy it from.
Yeah.
What's the Walmart exclusive? Oh. I guarantee you, I'm buying that with socks. Like, hey, I've got some socks and some boxers, and let me get that game. No, not that one. That old man, the one I'm pointing to.
Yes.
Every freaking time.
I'm gonna ask somebody at High Moon about that if I can get a hold of someone again, because I didn't realize that was the case with the exclusives. I
need to follow up on my email to them. Thank you for reminding me. Let's see here. Your very own dead Optimus Prime.
Yay! Optimus Prime can't breathe.
God, yes, finally.
Sleep mode Optimus Prime. This is the lamest repaint yet.
Granddaddy,
they must have run out of black paint.
Yeah, it's not really a repaint. It's just the absence of paint.
Yeah. There's not much play value in a corpse.
It's a de-paint is what you're saying.
It's a de-paint.
It's pretty much the effect of black repaints put in another box. Like the machine effed up that day. He's asleep. No, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. Grandpa's okay.
Oh, be careful. My grandpa's in the hospital.
Oh, sorry.
Bad timing on that joke.
Okay. Lassie's just sleeping.
Optimus is going to go to a nice farm where he can run around with a bunch of other Autobot leaders.
You know, I saw a funny Toy Fair comic years ago where Optimus Prime was in heaven and Jesus was like, "Hey, Optimus, what can I do for it, dude? I got to get right back."
Yeah, they gave the Matrix to the wrong guy. I told them to give it to Ultra Magnus, and they would not listen.
One day, a chosen one will light our darkest hour. No, totally not the guy it just glue and went all crazy for when he touched it. Yeah, the guy it didn't.
Yeah. The next thing he was trying to say before he died was, but don't let him keep it.
It's the finger holes, Ultra Magnus.
How do you open this damn thing? Do you got a screwdriver? No.
So again, where is my zombie Optimus Prime?
Yeah.
We need a Dark Awakening Optimus.
Yes.
That's just a kit bash waiting to happen there. That's just all you need is a Dremel.
Frenzy and Rumble will probably make one of those.
And then sell for like $5 jillion on eBay.
Yeah.
Well, they'll make the alloy covered Optimus because they can just paint him straight gray. And then zombie Optimus and that one can go hand Rodimus is nuts.
Undertaker.
Okay, Bad Toy Store will sell Chevy Aveo Swerve for $75 plus shipping.
Still, damn.
Yeah.
Anybody getting that?
Yep.
If it wasn't $75 for deluxe, maybe. I mean, yeah.
We'll revisit that here as our topic. XV has already picked that for us. XV is the producer.
He's a big thinker.
He is the big thinker of the show.
Yeah, big idea man.
Big idea man. Okay.
I just have way too much time to kill.
You know, I've got an idea.
Uh-oh.
Doo-doo.
An idea.
Watch out.
Can we talk about that?
I think if I bought...
I like uh-oh, that's good.
If I bought Masterpiece Convoy Sleep Mode, you know where I would get it?
I'm thinking Big Bad Toy
Store. A Big Bad Toy Store, yeah. That's exactly right.
Big Bad Toy Store.
Masterpiece Convoy is limited to 2010 pieces in Japan and shows Optimus after a spark went offline in Transformers the movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know. It also includes a trailer.
What? No! Sorry.
Transformers Megatron. And they have it listed for $274.99. What a deal!
Hey, Brian. Yeah. I can give an endorsement for Big Bad Toy Store.
Go ahead and do it.
I in the past have used their wonderfully well designed and usually kept up to date website to actually reserve items previously and before they're ready, and then once they are they go on sale, they ship them to me right away. So I would have to say, if you're looking for a superior customer service experience as well as the ability to basically create a wish list before Amazon has it in their database, then go to Big Bad Toy Store because they have pretty much everything right when it comes out in their database ready for pre-order.
And pile of loot is...
You know, I don't think anybody here can say a bad thing about Big Bad Toy Store.
I could, but it would be a lie.
That's not really the...
I could say a bad thing. I could say a bad thing. They're not... all right, let me try that again. I could say a bad thing.
I missed that stammer.
They don't have enough toys.
Wow, how many toys do you need? They have thousands of them.
Thousands.
I want more.
More.
Actually, don't they ship them from overseas?
I don't know.
So if anything, I would love to have a Big Bad Toy Store right in the old abandoned Toys R Us building down my street.
Send Joel an email and I bet he'll think about it.
There oh, really? You
go. So check out Big Bad Toy Store. Go to tfradio.net/BBTS. It's longer than bbts.com, but it's shorter than bigbadtoystore.com.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Brian. Yes.
Commercial break. My computer's frozen.
Okay. We'll be back after this.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Hey, we're back.
We are?
And I've joined us.
And here we have the fish in the morning.
Hi, Bill.
Fish in the morning, Billy.
Oh, it's movie.
Our cub podcaster and our soon to be our boss in a couple of years, Michael Fresh. Bill, how's it going?
I'll know when it's time to retire.
I am very happy and also in pain.
Pain?
I just brought out my braces tightened yesterday.
That's what they call
ouchie.
It.
Oh,
that's rough.
That's fascinating.
That's for the first time. So I've got to
do breakfast?
That for about 3 more years every single month. Breakfast was delicious. I had Salisbury steak.
For breakfast? Your braces? That work? You okay with the braces?
Yeah, it's fine. Banquet meal.
Awesome.
How much was it?
Uh-oh. Dude, that's just crazy. I usually do pork and beans and champagne for breakfast. You're just weird.
Hey, Bill, just remember, though, it may be a lot of pain
straight to the bathroom,
but it's a lot easier than doing it now than when you get old. Trust me.
Yeah.
I luckily was born with straight teeth.
Also, my mom came back from Tennessee, and she brought back a treat, which I have to try soon, boiled peanuts in a can.
That's a very Southern thing. I don't like them. XV is a huge fan of boiled peanuts.
Yeah, they smell like
Bill, what she should have brought you back was canned pork brains and gravy.
Do they have that?
Yes.
Probably.
Now, repeat that. What XV? What XV?
It is a can of pork brains and gravy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And she brought grilling loaf, and she brought Big Bob's white barbecue sauce, which is supposedly really delicious.
White barbecue sauce.
White barbecue sauce is so gross. I'm sorry.
Your mom likes white barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's how I got here.
What?
And now you have a Rob.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump back into the actual show. I'm just looking through our stuff, and John has been doing new Soundwave notes. I love John DeLuna. So stay tuned after RSE live. We will have new Soundwave, and I'll be hosting, I guess, unless someone else wants to.
Wait, am I joining you guys for Soundwave?
All right, I think so.
That'd be great. You can talk about.
Can I do the movies for this week?
Sure.
Yay!
Chris McFeely gets to see Iron Man 2 tomorrow. I hate Chris McFeely.
That sob.
Did you say sob, you wiener?
Yeah, my dad's in the other room, so I don't want to swear.
You wiener!
I wish I was 16 again. I would say things like sob.
I just said it, and maybe they got mad, maybe they didn't. Who knew?
Okay, so let's see here. JD's not doing – why are we even doing This Week in History anymore? Because it'll be the same story next year. Okay, when RFC hits, it's return.
Actually, I enjoy This Week in History. It's kind of interesting to reflect back.
Well, you can at least say next year no one will remember.
That's true. We won't even remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so This Week in History, Spotlight Cup is released in the U.S., by IDW. That was in 2007. God, IDW's had the license now for what? Since late 2006?
Why don't 2000? Wow. Yeah.
God, I'm old.
Like that. And they've managed to stay in business much longer than Dreamwave.
IDW is a real legitimate company, not built on the Transformers license or crappy comics. So, well,
how long did Marvel have the license? Because they're kind of getting on their territory of terms now.
Marvel had it from 84 to 93, something like that.
Yeah. They're gaining
9 years. So they're almost half there.
You know what I'm looking forward to, and I'm hoping that they jump on this bandwagon really quick, is that I'm really looking forward for comics to be returning in forms of being on the iPad and whatnot.
Dude, this comic book, the CBR reader on the iPad is tight. I would literally buy an iPad just for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge opportunity, especially for comic book companies, to basically be reinvented. I mean, having not only could you just do the regular artwork, but you can also do some animation and some additional stuff. And I think that
for comics, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, IDW, if you're listening, jump on this like
they've already started doing that.
Yeah, they have an app on it. I think it's just one of those generic apps, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't messed with it. I couldn't tell you a generic app from
Well, I mean, there's like one company that's made Marvel's app, and I think they're probably going to do DC's app. And
Marvel has an app on there, but I don't know how good it is.
I mean, they've just licensed it from another company, which is already doing a comic app, and I thought they were the same one that did the IDW app.
Marvel's awesome.
Yes, Marvel is awesome.
I just have to say that because Marvel makes every single good movie every single movie that I've seen from them.
Every single good movie, including Daredevil.
I what?
Hey, leave Daredevil alone, damn it.
Did your dad, did you go see Kick-Ass?
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah,
it was. Did it kick ass?
I enjoyed it.
Hit Girl, oh my god, yeah.
You know, she's not, you're not too old for Hit Girl. Do you think she's kind of cute?
She's 13 years old.
Too old. Yeah, wasn't she 11?
Dude,
no, she's 13. Dude. She's 11 in the movie, but 13 in real life.
That's totally within range. You should.
I love how within it's under a certain distance. Range, it's okay.
Promote live on the air.
Yeah, in four more years, Billy's going to be in jail with the same speech, but in a different tone of voice.
Hey, actually, there was a
13.
not to refer back to the previous comment, but there is a Transformers Comics app in the iPad store, and it's free.
Yeah, if you just want to get stuck with Transformers app for Transformers Comics, you know, that's if you just love that Spotlight Bumblebee. Go ahead.
Is there any other comics that I would want to read?
There's lots of comics I would rather, like to read.
Well, actually, you can explain this to me. So you were speaking of Kick-Ass. So I didn't know this. Kick-Ass was actually from a graphic novel.
It's Marvel.
Is that like a recent graphic novel?
It's a comic series, six or seven issues, drawn by John Romita Jr. and written by Mark Miller. Mark Miller tends to write things with the intention to make movies out of them once it's done, and I'm pretty sure that this was one of those stories that he did.
This was just basically a storyboard that they decided to color in and sell as a comic before they made the movie.
Yeah, oh, nice. That's basically true, except, with John Romita Jr. doing the art, it was a darn good storyboard. John Romita Jr. is probably the greatest comic artist of the last 50 years.
The greatest storyboarder in the...
Yeah, I mean, in this instance, but yeah, it's based. Yeah, pretty much, it was a storyboard, but it was a pretty good storyboard. It was much more mature, quote unquote, than Marvel's stuff because of the swearing, the violence. I don't remember. I think it was done under one of Marvel's imprints. Is that Leia?
Billy, stop it!
Hey,
what am I doing with this? I'm reading up about S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know what you guys are doing, but
I'm gonna hedge the poor fish off the show by putting on Leia and Alex.
Oh, dude, Leia.
I downloaded the app, and I have to say I'm actually pretty impressed. This is kind of well done here for the Transformers comics. I can get Last Stand of the Wreckers number one here for $2. Should I buy?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you already bought the thing. You might as well have some fun with it.
That's right.
Well, no,
right.
I bought the reader.
A lot of papers fluttering around on your desk. You need it weighed down.
Actually, Ender. Actually, I am trying to get rid of the less papers I have in this day and age. I mean, I the only thing I really keep paper wise are bills because I don't trust computers. But yeah, I mean, this is what I've been waiting for years. Is some sort of tricorder thing to read comics on because I'm nowhere to find my comics.
Pad.
Well, it's close to it.
Pad.
It's a pad. It's some futuristic thing of the future that I can read comics on and not have to read on paper. I mean, this is actually so now I won't have to go out to the store to get Last Stand of the Records. I'll actually just
you got to wait for it though. It's not going to be out like when the comics out on the shelf.
Well, that's fine. I'm always 2 weeks behind the time anyhow. So.
So it might be longer than that.
Exactly. I
approve of the device. I like one.
Experience of reading the comic on it. I don't have to have it, in paper. But there is something appealing about reading a comic in paper. But I can totally read on screen. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, not to derail the conversation, but this is so far, I'm pretty impressed with that. So,
I would buy one for my commute if nothing else.
Yeah, that noise was actually Alex asking for an iPad. Not only do I think Douglas Adams would approve of the iPad, but I think it could actually double as the guide itself.
Yes, that would be awesome.
That's the whole point. That's what I think he had in mind. So I'm all for the device, and I'm sure
I think you probably download that in the bookstore. So, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I meant the actual Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like that's actually what it is in the books is an electronic book that you can look up anything from. It's like the internet before there was any such thing, and an iPad before there was any such thing.
You know what was the internet or the iPad before there was any such thing? Teletran 1. And on April 27th, 1932, Casey Kasem was born. Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is Casey Kasem.
Yes, I totally brought it back there just seamlessly.
Kasem, why wasn't he on that show till the end? Do we have a sound effect that I believe I requested for that?
Oh. Racially offended, anybody? Casey Kasem.
Anybody?
Yes. Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
That is not the one you wanted?
No.
Casey Kasem is not on Transformers anymore.
Here it is.
Yep.
As Supreme Military Commander, King of Kings, and President for Life of the Socialist Democratic Federated Republic of Carbonia, I order you Decepticons out of my country by sunset tomorrow.
I love Carbonia.
There he is.
I just learned two things.
What did you learn?
In Iron Man, Captain America's shield can be seen in Tony Stark's workshop when Jarvis is removing his armor and Pepper Pot spots him.
They're talking still.
What does that have to do with Transformers? That should have been on New Soundwave.
The second thing I just learned is Rhinox just farted.
He's catching up, guys.
He's catching up. He'll pass us. No.
Hey guys, so we're past Rhinox farting. Now it's Rhinox running Megatron over with a car.
That was just the car with whatever the black guy from the A Team's thing.
Dude,
you paint quite the picture.
Jesus.
And Shrem.
And it's not just any Megatron, it's RIT Megatron.
How's that corner that you done painted yourself into there, Billy?
It's very, very cozy.
How's that racist paint smelling?
Oh, just because I wouldn't call that racist.
Hey Billy, let's do this. How about we'll bring you back on for New Soundwave, okay?
Yes.
We'll bring you back on. Thank you for being on, Billy. You're awesome.
You're welcome.
God, my hairs are standing up.
Okay, Billy will return for New Soundwave. Billy is our Cub podcaster. If you've never listened to RFC before,
Billy won't again now.
we have Billy under our wing, and we're going to make him into the best darn podcaster ever. And get him laid in the process.
Andy Kaufman-esque statement. I'm trying to understand.
I'm not responsible if he goes to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not responsible if you go to jail, so.
True, but I'm calling you anyway, dude. You got to get me out of here. I'm in jail.
Okay, so topic this week, XV wrote, inspired by the Aveo Swerve, how much influence does a toy being limited have on what you're willing to pay for it? I'd like to say very little, but historically that's not been true at all. Oh, God, I've spent too much money. If I kind of want it and the supply is limited, like the I just happened to be really poor when Punch Counter Punch came out, but if it'd been like this week, I would have already had it. I mean, I've already ordered it, so I will buy a toy if it's more limited just because I'm stupid.
You know, now that it's at Big Bad Toy Store, I wonder if we're going to have another Battle Unicorn incident.
Yeah, wait. Big Bad Toy Store is not buying up like the rest. Not...
Oh, okay. Good.
The Swerve.
Yeah, this just comes from Hasbro. It's not necessarily everything they've got.
Big Bad Toy Store.
Okay, good.
Hey, if you want to battle Unicorn, he's like $3 now. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what Rob's talking about.
I know.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing last night. You know, if I wait 10 years, will they have Swerve for $3?
I hope so.
You know, that's sort of guys who, like, bought them last year for mega bucks or going to be like, son of a!
I'm like that now. When I first started collecting back in 2007, I bought G1, Galvatron, Blaster, and Soundwave for a total of $900-something.
Wow.
Sucker!
Wow.
Mm.
I know.
Yeah. You could have gone for, like, $40 even in a pack of gum.
Yes.
What you need to do is wait for your friends, like my friends from college, were in dire financial situations where they had no money and they needed some way to get money, and just go, well, those Transformers on that shelf there are starting to look pretty good. And be a shame if, you know, you happen to, you know, need some money and maybe you could just sort of sell them to me. And then you get all the G1 Transformers they had as kids for a discounted price. So there's your tip for the week, folks.
Rob tried to get a Grand Maximus that way.
So screw over your friends. No.
Rob tried to screw over some of his friends who had a Grand Max.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah, they would rather have Grand Max than feed their kids. Well, and it wasn't like I was cheating them. I was going to give them like, I was going to give them like a couple of hundred. I was like, oh, dude, what, about $300-$400? That's fair, right? Right. Yeah, I knew it wasn't, but still.
I think if anyone owns a Grand Max, they know it's worth $300.
Yeah, how much did you offer him for a night with his wife?
Yeah.
I've seen that situation.
Run for the hills, Ender. Trust me.
Yeah, John, you sold stuff like that, haven't you said?
Yeah, I've been in that situation too, where I've actually been sort of down on my luck and in between jobs, and I pretty much the entire Robots in Disguise set. I had all the toys, and I ended up selling probably about half of them simply just because I needed money. And sadly, the one I'm really kicking myself in the butt for is Rail Racer, because that was a really good trio.
Rail Racer. Not a big fan.
I turned into the pimps.
Hey, John, isn't that how – didn't you use your Transformers collection to pay for your MBA?
No, but – well – not necessarily, but I did like liquidate like all of the Unicron trilogy molds that I had. So, and which basically was a complete collection of all three lines. And that was mainly because I had no like emotional attachment to them, yeah. And I just needed the space. So like over the course of like 3 months, I just blew them out of here. So it was kind of refreshing. It was kind of like liberating to like,
yeah, it totally is.
You know, get that many toys out of here.
I would totally trade my Transformers collection for an MBA, though, I have to say.
Yes, I would, too, if I had to. Yes, if that was the choice, I would have made it, yes.
I could have done that probably now, except for the whole married part. that ship sailed.
Blame it on the wife.
Blame it on the wife.
Right next to you.
No, she's not here. She went to church, amazingly. I've been trying to get her not to, but she went to church, so... I want her to spend the evening with me podcasting. She's always fun to talk to.
Have you had her on Radio Free Cybertron ever?
No. I really want to get her on to New Soundwave so she can sort of give like the non-nerd impression of Iron Man 2 next week. We're going to do an Iron Man 2 special. We're going to do that. Hey. Let's take a quick break from the topic. I do want to mention this. I will be giving away another RC. Not next week, but we'll have more details. We have another RC to give away. Plus, we actually have some more prizes. And I don't know what those are yet, but...
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Just before we go, where could someone get an RC if they wanted to purchase one? Wink, wink.
Go to tfradio.net/BBTS. Or eBay. But, you know, tfradio.net/BBTS. Go to Big Bad Toy Store. But, no,
yeah,
we're going to...
check there first.
Yeah, check there first. Yeah, if you're lucky. I've seen like six. I literally saw 16 Cybertron mode ratchets sitting there, not a single RC. What, Rob?
Apparently, they're starting to show up again at Toys R Us. So what? Hey,
RC. No. Shh, we're giving one away. Darn it.
Yeah. They're showing up again at Big Bad Toy Store.
But yeah, we're giving one away. Actually, if anyone can think of another prize, what would people want? So we're working on that. We'll actually announce the prize next week. I'm not joking.
We could give away a date with the fish.
Oh, dude. No. Awesome. But no, I'm honestly not joking. If someone wants to email me, brian@tfradio.net, and let me know what you think a good prize would be, we may actually incorporate that into the contest.
Within reason.
Within reason. And we've got a little bit of scratch to put toward this. I just haven't actually... like put it toward anything yet, so
it's just in your pocket.
It's
right
in my
now.
Pocket, yeah. It's just sort of.
I just like smelling dollar bills every once in a while because it reminds me of being a gang.
Yeah, but
submission of a contest prize suggestion for Radio Free Cybertron renders you ineligible to win said prize.
No, it doesn't.
What?
I thought it'd be fun to say though.
Yeah, it would be fun to say, but yeah. Sorry, that was just an aside. Just wanted to say that. So, yeah, I would totally, you know, get rid of like all my Transformers to have like an advanced degree that could really, you know, help secure me financially in the future, so I could buy my collection back, like right. John did not do. but in my fantasy world, John did. But seriously, has anyone else here not bought something, paid too much money for it just because it's hard to come by? Ender gets the crap in the mail.
I collect Optimus Primes.
Yeah, he makes a living doing this.
Yeah, I mean,
what's the most you've ever
thought better of that before I brought this topic? Yeah,
what's the most you've ever sunk in one though? Just what is? Can you got a ballpark figure?
Oh, geez.
How about a range?
ballpark.
I can probably if I looked at my collection, I could probably name 20 of them that I'm absolutely sure I paid more than I should have for. Oh, but no. On the other hand, like a lot of them I have never seen again. And it's like, okay, I'm paying three digits for this like 2-inch high plastic, you know, thing that somebody probably got out of a vending machine. But if I'm never going to see another one, to me, what's it worth for my collection to be able to have the piece? So now if I come across it like six more times, then yeah, I'm going to be, you know, feeling pretty stupid about it. And that does happen. But on the other hand, I bought a ring, right? It's like a, you know, what is it? Some kind of silver. And it's a little, you know, Primes front, and it opens up and it says, you know, freedom is the right of all sentient beings, and a little head pops out, so it even like semi transforms. And it was like, I think I paid $170 for it, and just thinking, oh my god, why am I
Anders,
I should be paying this for it. I have never ever seen one again.
Let me ask you this. When does it do you sometimes have moral like issues where, well, I really want to buy this, but you know, the kids are going to need this week. And then, you know, how do you deal with that? Because I'm sort of getting into that case because now I got a bunch of birds that live in the house as well as a roommate, and it's sort of getting to the point where it's like, well, I really want to buy that Transformer, but I know I really shouldn't do it because I need to sort of save up for, you know, said house repair. So, you know, when does it get to the point where it's like, you know, if you don't buy it now, you're never going to see it again, but at the same time, you know, you really can't afford it.
I don't know. Having kids, that's never, the kids always come first. That's never an issue.
Right.
My kids, I don't think I've ever done materially without, because I'm a collector. On the other hand, I could use some dental work that I probably should have sunk.
Yeah, awesome. I'm in that boat. I have
a filling that kind of exploded. I've been putting off dealing with it. And every time, I got to admit, sometimes when I'm buying a toy, I'm thinking, you know, I really could have put that in a jar and done something about the hole in my head. But
does anyone else have this issue yet? Or, I mean, I know Brian's married, but I'm not sure if everyone else is you know, sort of status yet. I mean, do you guys have this dilemma sometimes where you're like, oh, I just can't buy that thing because I know I gotta pay for this coming up?
It's like, I can't buy this toy because I've got to put this amount of money toward the podcast. Is how I've been the last 6 months.
Yeah. I have a much more combination. That, like, I should be spending time with my wife and my kids right now, but I'm podcasting with these assholes. That happens a lot.
Yeah,
we've all got that. I mean, I'm married too. It's just a matter of like,
go, Rob.
There's just way more buckets that you put your budgeted money into, you know. So right. There's delayed gratification. If anything, it's delayed gratification. Like, you do have to like save up or plan for certain things sometimes.
Yeah, let's see. In my new job, counting commute, I'm putting in about 13 hours a day. So it's been harder in the last month, which people can tell by how late some of the shows have come out. It's usually not amount. It's not usually a financial, you know, monetary. You know, I need to put the money toward this. Lately, it's been time, and it's been hard to you know, balance between the Transformers, the podcasting, and work. But I'm finding that I much prefer having less time, you know, than I need, having way more time than I need, like the last, you know, 10 months prior. Yeah. So.
I think it's more just responsible adulthood, because there's a point where you're 22 and you're driving from the time you get off work till.
What, Rob?
Do we lose Rob?
I think we lost Rob. But do we ever really have Rob?
Much like myself at the moment, this discussion of like our responsible adult existence and why we shouldn't be doing stupid childish things is making me want to go put the headset down and go do something else.
Well, like, I was just making me want to be
22 and frivolous again.
Yeah.
You're thinking about it too much, Ender.
Yeah, that thinking thing seems to be a real problem of mine, I gotta admit.
Yeah. Well, I think it really
stopped you from buying half those primes.
No.
It's like, I was well aware of what I was doing.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's addiction. That is the need for the prime is incontestable.
Okay, on that note, we can probably wrap things up. Do new sound.
Now that we've arrived at this colossal downer, good topic, everybody.
Good topic, yes. Way to go.
Does your father have a prime addiction problem? Call the addiction therapy hotline at 1-800-NO-MORE-PRIME.
No, that's just the thing. It's contagious. Now my kids like Transformers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I could tell a good story that's sort of an upper real quick if you don't mind. We had my roommate / partner, depends on which day of the week and how much I'm pissed off at him. basically, his brother and his girlfriend came to visit, and they brought their little boy. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, the kid's not going to be anything interested in Transformers. And I actually got home back from a wedding late that night, and they're like, oh, he was amazed at your collection. He knew everything. He started talking about the original. Oh, he's got the original Transformer. Da, da, da. I'm like, oh boy, this kid's going to be fun tomorrow. So I wake up in the morning and the kid's, you know, there and whatnot. And I spent 3 hours playing Transformers with this kid. And a couple of things were sort of like epiphanies to me during this. You know, one, kids have a lot of energy in them.
Yeah,
I don't know how parents do it, but after 3 hours, I was mentally and physically exhausted. So Ender, props to you for being able to take care of two and soon to be three. I don't know how you do it. Two, all of his references were actually based on Transformers Animated. So whenever he was talking about, I mean, he was actually fairly knowledgeable about Transformers, but everything he was talking about was referencing to Transformers Animated. So when I was talking about Grimlock, I was thinking G1, and here is this kid thinking, you know, Transformers Animated Grimlock. So I kept having to correct myself and sort of also tell him, oh, well, you know, Grimlock, there's actually five Dinobots, da-da-da-da-da. And beyond that, it was just a wonderful experience to just, you know, play with, you know, kids. Although he always wanted to win, and so I'm like, well, no, you know, your team can't always win all the time. So you pick your characters here, and okay, we sort of have to end up, and at every battle has to be Megatron and Prime at the end, and they have to be fighting at the end. Of course, Prime has to win. So he kept wanting to do, well, let's just make this good guy a bad, you know, this bad guy good guy. I'm like, well, we can, but that really doesn't make any sense. But it was fun, and it was really nice to actually. It was sort of a return to my roots, and being able to just sort of, you know, bring out the toys and whatnot, and just play with the kid, and you know, it was just like, wow, it reminded me being a kid. So if you ever get the chance, don't be afraid to share your Transformers with the younger generation.
I'm one of those douchebags who feels really uncomfortable when someone starts messing around with my stuff, if it's I've had friends my age who have broken them before.
Yeah, well, like, that's why I just let them play with just the animated one, because the animated toys are really made for the kids, and I'm sort of the mind that the Transform. Now we ended up bringing some of the classics in because he saw classics Grimlock and what's the repaint Slugfest, and he I'm like, all right, so we did bring in some classics one, but. And then he saw the Soundwave tapes. And I'm like, okay, we got to bring in the Soundwave tapes. So that was a little bit nervous because here I'm, you know, like, here's, you know, 20-year-old Rat Bat on the floor. I'm thinking, please don't step on this. But it was a wonderful experience. I mean, it's amazing what kids, and it's just the imagination of a child never goes away. I mean, it's just, you know, just their idea of like, okay, well, this guy's going to attack this guy now, this guy. And just lowering yourself to think like that was such, I mean, some of it was mentally draining because he kept wanting to play for 3 hours straight, but it was a lot of fun. So there's your happy story for the week to end the show.
That's awesome. Actually, I want to end it on this. This got posted into the notes earlier. but I kind of glazed over it. Weebum just pinged me. Barricade and Warpath have been added to War for Cybertron, and I actually have to say I really like the look of Warpath. It's not like sort of the classic, you know, cutesy, wootsy little Warpath. He's actually kind of like awesome looking, really. If you go to tformers.com for those listening live, you can see him there. Not too crazy about Barricade. I don't really care about Barricade either, unless he's a Mustang. But Warpath's kind of awesome. So there you go.
Ancient Cybertronian Mustang.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's an ancient 2011 Cybertronian Mustang with a glass top and a 302 engine. That would be awesome. Yeah, so...
I'd love to comment on that, but yeah, I can't.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Can you comment next week?
No, I am forbidden. I've sipped at the font of the fantastic game, so I'm not allowed to talk about it for a little while.
Ah, sucks, whores. Okay. So, that's it for this week. Next week, we will announce details on the contest, and you can help out on the contest. Email me, Brian, at tfradio.net. That's B-R-I-A-N at tfradio.net. Actually, here's a little secret. If you type in anything at tfradio.net, if it's not an email address, it goes to me anyway. You could, like, dog butthole at tfradio.net goes to me. But Brian at tfradio.
That's so funny. That's what I put in to send you email.
It works. But email me, like, if you have any suggestions for the contest. And we will get it. And actually, it's really funny when you're the catch-all address what people send when they don't know any better. And that's all I'll say. We'll be back next week. I want to thank Ironhide 1975 and TFG1 Mike for being on this week. And, of course, the fish, Bill McElfresh, our cub podcaster, soon to be boss. So we'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.